challenging what God had originally said to Adam and Eve. And not that God's word is challenging, not that anything can compare to the word of God, but man allowed the word of God to become commonplace with the word of Satan. And so there the serpent of old birthed within our parents this doubt in the word of God. And there they allowed the serpent to gain victory. And this ushered in the fall of humanity and all the circumstances that came along with it. Now Adam and Eve, though they did this, God did not leave them without hope. The Bible tells us that he came to them in the cool of the day. He helped them to realize the state that they were in. And he led them to understand that there is something that he would do eventually that would lead humanity to be reconciled to God. He says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that, "And I will put enmity between thee," saying to the serpent, "and between the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but you shall bruise his heel." God left them with this word. As newborn babes, they were to desire the sincere milk of that word and live by it. But then as they had this promise, this hope that this seed would come, they had their first child and they named him Cain, because Eve was saying that, "Look, the Lord had blessed me with a child, the promise must be coming through." But not long after, Cain killed his younger brother Abel. What do you do when the supposed fulfillment of God's word seems to just be wickedness? What do you do when God promises you that your bread and your water will be sure, but it's the 25th and all, now you don't get paid and you're hungry? What do you do? So Adam and Eve, they kept firm and they did not, they wavered a little bit, but they still held on to the word that God shared with them, that he, not anybody else, but he would put this enmity between the woman and between the serpent, and that a seed would come. And then finally, hallelujah, finally, Seth was born. And the Bible records in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, that when Seth had Enos, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And righteousness began to reign yet again. What would have happened if Adam and Eve decided not to be faithful to the word of God? Now we fast forward a little bit and we see a young man, not young by the time he's called by God, but we see Noah. Noah is given a very strange word. He lived in a time when he's never seen rain before. Matter of fact, all he sees some beasts coming up to water the earth. But God called him one side and said, "You will know, something is going to happen. I am going to send rain and there will be a flood. Go and build an ark and preach to the people that this flood is coming, and tell them to repent." Noah heard this word and he didn't know what to do. He's never seen rain before, so he's wondering, who will this thing be fulfilled? But nevertheless, he continued to build the ark. He knocked nail after nail. He lifted the necessary boards that were needed to build the ark and all the materials. And though they were mocking him, though they were saying that this man must be a madman, though Sister Patterson, they were creating memes on him and come out of him and sharing it on WhatsApp, he did not worry about that. He continued to preach righteousness. The Bible says for 120 years. Some of us have been at this for 20 years and already losing our faith. When certain things we're not seeing happening, we're saying, "Wait there, how is not happening yet?" Just 20 years. Noah preached 120 years. And the Bible records that the rain eventually came. And those who did not desire the sincere milk of the word knew not until the flood came and took them. Fast forward a little bit and give you examples of those who got the word and decided to be faithful to him. We see Father Abraham. Now Father Abraham at the age of 75 was called out of this pagan land and was told to venture out, not knowing where to go, but God promised that, "I will keep you." And Abraham went. But 15 years later, 85, still no children. The word was given, still nothing fulfilled. Until Sarah gets a little frustrated and says, you know what, here, I have my handmaid Hagar. Why not live with her? Why not marry her and live with her? And Abraham followed that, and confusion reigned in the tent. When the brethren, when the people of God do not follow his word, confusion. The reason there is so much confusion amongst us is because we are not like babies desiring the sincere milk of the word. But eventually in Genesis chapter 21, we see Isaac coming. The true fulfillment, the true seed through which the Messiah would come, and God lived up to the word that he shared with Father Abraham. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And this very word that they followed it right through to the judges and through the kings and all the way through the minor and the major prophets, and we're still finding and chasing this promised seed. We see different signs of him in the sanctuary. We see him being typified in the prophets and the work of some of the patriarchs, but we still do not know the seed until finally, one day a particular man was preaching, not in pretty clothes as I am in, but in prophet's garments. And he said, a strange man was approaching, and he said, behold, catching everyone's attention, behold, the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. And everybody was kind of here like, wait, I know that somewhere in Leviticus it speaks of a Lamb that would come. Typifying, we would see a Lamb thrown on the altar. The fat of this Lamb was burned, typifying the removal of our sins. But who is this strange man that John the Baptist is declaring the Lamb of God? So those who desire the sincere milk of the word, they went through and they observed him. They went through the word and observed that this man was preaching righteousness. This man was healing the sick. This man rebuked the hypocrisies and the foolishness of the leaders of the day. And it was said of him that never man speak as he did. And he taught them, not as the scribes, but as one having authority. So they opened their Bibles as they desired the sincere milk of the word, and they realized that this man, there is something about this man, because the Bible did say that he would be born of a virgin, and we hear something about him coming from a lady named Mary, and she was not touched by her husband, and we need to check this man out. Then they realized that he would be despised and rejected of men. They saw that the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not value the ministry of this man. The ministry was from God. They then realized that this man would be pierced in his hand and even in his feet, and they saw him as those who did not desire the sincere milk of the word threw him on a beautiful, terrible, wooden, rugged cross. They saw the blood of the seed promised in Genesis chapter 3:15. The seed typified in the sanctuary service. The seed typified by the word of all the minor and the major prophets. They saw, no, the Messiah bleeding on a wooden cross. And they read their Bibles. But they remembered a promise about the Messiah. They remembered that the Messiah was to be 3 days in the earth. So though they took him from the cross and they threw him in a tomb, they knew the Bible told and tells even us today that Jesus must die and he must be buried and he would resurrect to glory. As newborn babes, those who desire the sincere milk of the word, not the picture. But those who did not desire the sincere milk, they still try to kill those who believe. It is by the word of God that the messiahship of Jesus, the Savior of the world, is maintained. So as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of His word. And even as we're talking about withstanding the test of time, if we do not spend more time in the word than we spend watching Avengers, brothers and sisters, we will be lost. If we know more about what is happening in Parliament, which always sounds like a schoolyard, if you ask me, if you know more about Parliament than you know about Abraham and Jacob and the great fathers of this faith, brothers and sisters, we will be lost. If we had members who truly desire the sincere milk of the word, we'd have a powerful church. Do you believe it, brethren?
Yes.
We'd have a powerful church. People who could recite large portions of scripture rather than telling me about what happened in this Avengers and that Avengers. People who, instead of knowing sister so and so's business and brother so and so's business, can tell me how to be prepared to withstand the test of time. People who, instead of having malice and coming into church and can't sit here and can't sit there because so and so is there. People who love God. If we desire the sincere milk of the word. As we approach the close of this cosmic conflict between Christ and the Satan, brothers and sisters, like a baby, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, my baby, to Nathaniel, I tell you, I have my vision. I observe as every few moments, he's just looking for mommy. You know, even after you drink, you just want to make sure mommy is somewhere nearby. That is the kind of desire we need to have for the world. And you know, the devil in these last days will do anything to distract you from reading the word. You know, I oftentimes, when I go to places like a tax office or somewhere, you know, you're waiting for your name to be called, I often take out my Bible and, or, you know, maybe some quote from the, some statement on the spirit of prophecy and I'm reading. And I realize all the time that it's as I take out this book that the light starts to move well fast. From the word of God. The devil will move you from beacon to end up just to pull you from the word of God. The devil will give you this position, that position, that position, as long as you're not in the word. He's good with you. But like babies, we need to desire the sincere meaning of the word. I know another thing, I know I'm speaking another one at that time. It's the first time I ever preached at Washington, so I can't talk about it. So, I realized one thing, but I tell you, I didn't do anything to stop you from reading the word, right? I realized one thing about that man. You know, sometimes I come home from work or from school, and you know, it's a little man. You just want to play with him a little. And you kind of need him, we have this little petty sister father, so we can take him off. We don't make him too miserable. But although we think he doesn't make him miserable, it actually does. And when we're going to take him off, and I take him home, he starts to cry. He is protesting that you have taken him from the milk of mommy. This is how we need to guard our time in the world. Anything that pulls us from it, we need to protest against it. Even if it is positioned in the church. I know you don't like joking that one. But even if it is a position from the church pulling you from your time in the word, even if it is your girlfriend, my young friends, protest against it. And like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. To stand the test of time, brothers and sisters, we need to follow the example of David. And we need to hide his word within our hearts that we might not sin against him. Indeed, this is the last of days. We need to be like Jeremiah and find his word and eat it and make it the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. And even like Job, we need to esteem the word of God even above our necessary food. As newborn babes, desire the sincere
yield up the word that ye may go thereby.
Let God finish your page 124. Someone has this to say: development of character, knowledge, growth rather of knowledge and wisdom, is the sure result of feeding on the word. How can we expect character development without feeding on the word? It's impossible. So I submit to you, heed the words of the Apostle Peter. And like a newborn baby, if you want to take it Nathaniel and say, oh, I'm serious, boy, promise me. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And you might ask, how do I get this desire? Right now, I feel like I don't watch Avengers more than I spent 10 minutes in the world. Right now, I feel like I go to the movies and then this morning I can spend 5 minutes in devotion with the family. And I just want to share a few things with you. Firstly, ask God. Is some church that believes in justification by faith? We do not believe that there is some switch that we can just flip on and who will love the world. No, it is God who will need to come into our hearts and do that for us. Secondly, fall in love with Jesus. You know, I am persuaded that every droplet of ink preserved in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Every droplet of ink in the world is about the man Christ Jesus. And the more you love him, the more you behold him upon the cross, the more you understand what he did for you on that cross in AD 31, is the more you get driven to feast on the word. And finally, just do it. You know, I remember when people said, why Bible really hard? I used to kind of wonder how that worked. Because when I think open the Bible and I end up in, for instance, Joshua, and I see some wild thing happening, that's exciting. I like it. When I think open when I read Songs of Solomon, I realize I don't have to watch Notebook, I don't have to watch them kind of love movies. The love is right here in the world. And there's no greater love than what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Just do it. So ask God, fall in love with Jesus Christ, and just do it. You know, I realize that you don't really need to reach now to get your message across to the fathers. And as I come to a close, about 10 years ago, I watched this movie, and I used to watch that kind of thing called P.S. I Love You. Anybody here ever watch that movie? Oh, but that, you know, anybody else? P.S. I Love You. It's a wonderful love story. And it's about a couple. This couple, they were really deeply in love with each other. But unfortunately, the husband developed some form of sickness. I'm not remembering clearly now what the sickness was, but he developed some sickness. And he was to die sometime soon. And what he did is he knew the bond he had with his wife, and he decided to plan strategically some letters around and would even employ people to deliver letters to her from at a particular time to just buoy her up, to strengthen her and to restore her. And this lady, after the passing of the husband, she was broken. But she stumbled time after time upon these letters, and these letters would revive her. These letters would help her to understand that, you know, it's not so bad. She can get over this thing. And at the end of the chain of letters, this young lady was totally restored and totally at peace. This is similar to the story that we have today. Jesus Christ, the husband of the bride, the church, has left his word for us to feast on. Not just to restore us in this life, but to restore us for eternity. So I say to you, as David, the Apostle Peter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I want to be faithful to his word. I want to, instead of watching the world over and over, I want to spend my time in his word. I'm being honest with you. I want to have this insatiable desire for the scriptures. If that's your desire, this evening, I invite you to stand with me. That is what is in there.
We sing the first stanza and chorus of passing out the gentle spirit.
As we narrow gentle Savior,
to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God even more than we did previously.